Something sleeps inside us. The sleeper must awaken, 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 awaken.
This is yet another Ghostly Talk. The fun continues.
Oh, the fun always continues.
The fun continues, yeah. For some reason, they haven't kicked us off yet. So
yeah,
we're
going to
keep doing the show.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
Yeah, and we're here again.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Doug's got a headache.
Oh, yeah.
The heat's cranking way up down here in the Haunted Basement Studios, and we're ready to melt. I can feel the sweat coming off my forehead already.
That's all right. As soon as the furnace quits, it'll... freeze up in here again.
Yeah, so this will freeze, and then we'll die in the middle of the show.
Well,
it'll be nice.
Well, that's ghostly for you anyway. We've got, we of course are live Sunday nights,
7 p.m.
Eastern time till 9 p.m.
Phone lines are open.
Phone lines, yeah, we've got phone lines. You can call 1-888-520-1969. Yeah, 1969. And, also, I have to say thank you to Zero Point Radio at www.zeropointradio.com. We are live in the chat rooms when we're broadcasting. You can go to their website, zeropointradio.com, click on Interact, go down to Chat, and pick a name, and you're in.
Yes.
So, and with a lot of cool people.
Who's in there tonight, Doug?
Well, Mr. Olaf is in there. Phobos is in there from the UK.
Yes.
R.F. Burns, of course. He's the guy who runs the show at ZPR. And Bethy. I don't think I've talked with Bethy before.
Well, she's from...
Soljava? Oh, awesome. So...
Hello!
And who did I miss? Oh, my gosh. I almost missed L.F. Midwood.
Oh.
That's our friend.
We're calling you out again. What you going to do about it?
Ring.
Phone lines are open all the way through the show tonight.
Yeah.
Sometimes we close them off a little bit. Tonight, though, they're open through the whole show.
Yeah, it's sort of a free format topic tonight. Let me tell you the topic in a minute. Because first, I want to say, Zero Point Radio carries Clyde Lewis.
Yeah,
the Ground Zero show. And he's on, for example, he's on through the weekend, but of course the Sunday nights he's on from 11 p.m. Eastern time on, so he's on like just 2 short hours after Ghostly Talk, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, stay up, listen to Ghostly Talk. I think then they replay Ghostly Talk or something, but then there's 2 hours.
You got 4 hours packed with goodly goodness.
Yeah, and then
Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, and then boom, Clyde Lewis with Ground Zero, and
excellent.
So that's cool. And then of course Monday nights / Tuesday mornings is at 1 a.m. I think is Resmerized.
Yep, 1 a.m.
followed by Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie.
So there's a lot going on. Sunday nights always seem to be like, you know, the big TV night.
Yeah.
We're trying to like switch it over to the big internet radio night.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of bucking the trend, isn't it?
Yeah. We're just trying to like just, you know, I mean, I love The Simpsons.
I think we're competing with, but, with Survivor and stuff like that.
I honestly think any person any person with any type of intellectual base, I think they would listen to anything on ZPR as opposed to Survivor, I hope. I hope they would.
Well, yeah.
Not saying that people are stupid that listen to... Well, yeah.
Then
yeah,
again,
I am just saying
sometimes
a horrible show.
Sometimes I think that, you know, I'm an intellectual. Rarely. And then
rarely,
what happens is, then I catch myself watching those movies, those, like, really highly, you know, big money movies that are
absolutely silly. Nope.
And you know, comedy movies and stuff. And so, you know, I do need to have some downtime as well. So I imagine people out there have to have their downtime, and that can be Survivor.
Thanks, Doug, for making it a positive thing for us.
Why not? Every cloud has a silver lining.
All right, so Survivor's cool then. All right,
no,
we'll leave it at that.
Well, no, it's not.
All right, so yeah, that too. That's
I think
very
I saw
important.
Three episodes total.
I can't
episodes.
Do it, man.
I watched the one where they tried to eat that worm or something. That was
I can't do it. I can't. Yeah. I can't watch any of that. It makes me sick. I was flipping around like last Saturday. You know, it's a big Saturday night for Scott here, sitting at the house playing on the internet. Flipping around the TV though, and I just happened to. Just hit. I mean, the timing was horrible. Yet perfect.
Because
it was the Osbournes.
Oh no,
the Osbournes were on, and I hit it right at the time where Kelly was in the recording studio singing one of her songs, and she was just like, and I was like, I felt my stomach acid churn up, come up my throat, and nearly, you know, I nearly regurgled. I mean, it's horrible. So.
Yeah,
let's leave the reality-based talk, what is it?
Television shows alone. Yeah.
Yeah, because we get a call from Ozzy's lawyer. Yeah, right, this is Ozzy's lawyer. I don't want that.
No.
www.ghostlytalk.com.
Well, yeah, that is our website. Go there.
Go there.
Go into the forums. We put them up there for people to talk in, and I haven't seen much action in there lately.
Unfortunately, you know.
Well, I've been, like, absolutely frazzled lately, you know, with 80 billion things going on, but I do check in there from time to time, and I read new posts, so go in there, post stuff up, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually in there, I usually pop in every day at work, because I'm so busy at work, you know, I have a very busy job. My job is very, very intricate, so you know,
ghostlytalk.com. Also, you know what, because the topic is so interesting tonight, I do want to get to it, but I do want to mention that Zero Point Radio has got some gear for sale now on their homepage. And I was looking at some of that. I was drooling. I'm like, oh, do I want a ZPR mouse pad so bad.
That'd be cool.
And, you know, and there's just, like, all this cool stuff. If you go to ZeroPointRadio.com, look at the stuff.
Yeah.
What else
do they have, man?
Well,
because I haven't got a chance to look at that yet.
They've got T-shirts.
Okay.
And a mouse pad.
Okay.
Well, there's other stuff, too, but I wanted the mouse pad. That was what I was, like, really thinking.
I'll take a T-shirt.
Yeah?
I could use a new T-shirt.
Awesome stuff. The graphics were done by Zero Point Radio's own Zanny.
Okay.
Of the Zanny Show, and just totally cool.
They come in black?
I have no idea.
Okay, we're going to have to check into that.
It's done through the Cafe Press.
Okay.
So.
I need to get a black one.
Yeah?
With Scott L. on one side of it, please. Burns, take care of that. Thank you. Now that we're off of ZPR.
What are we talking about tonight? Well, you called me. You called me up last night.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, we don't have a topic.
Yeah, it was a rough week.
Well, let me tell you about this. Okay. I was sitting there, I'm rereading the book by I think Erica Cheatham or something, it's about Nostradamus.
Okay.
The further prophecies or something, or the future prophecies of Nostradamus.
Yeah.
And part of the book is about time theory, theories of time.
Okay.
Because what she wants to do is she wants to set the stage for prophecies, because certain theories of time may preclude the ability to see into the future and that kind of thing. So she was discussing time theories. So what would be really cool is to talk about time theory and time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I think that would be totally cool.
Something we never talked about really on this show, and when Doug threw it at me last night, I was like, oh, okay, well, sure, I'll just pull that one together real quick, or, you know, and we'll get it all together. So, time travel, why not? You know, we'll talk about it today.
Yeah, in like 2 short hours, we learned everything there is to know about time travel.
Yeah, we're experts at time travel.
Far from it.
I found the Cracker Jacks box, pulled out my degree, and I'm ready to go.
So that's why we need you guys to call in tonight. Talk about time travel. That's what we're going to talk about.
We got plenty of things to throw at you, though. Mainly, I mean, like anything we talk about on this show, it's usually theory. And we won't spare you with theory tonight. I mean, we will. We won't spare you with theory tonight.
Yeah, we will not spare you the theory because we got to get some theories laid out.
Did a little research for you people. I.e. going on the computer, going
into Google. Yeah.
There's my research for the week.
Heaven forbid we actually visit,
a library. Yeah. Sure, why not? So, I happen to actually come across this very, very neat website. Let me just throw the URL out there. http://www.phreak.co.uk/mamaks/ Some very interesting theories on time travel. I tried finding the person's name, but there was no name there. So maybe one of you guys can email him or something and get his name. But he or she, whoever put this together, did a really good job as far as discussing what, you know their theories. And, I mean, a lot of them make a lot of sense. They probably follow the guidelines with a lot of traditional theory in time travel, too. But, you know, we all have our own spin on it also. So,
well, I have a feeling this person has read much more about
time
theory and time travel than I have.
Yeah, same here.
Because they put together a really nice synopsis.
Yeah,
kind of
pretty
thing.
Much. I'm just going to highlight some of the cool
goody
stuff.
Sure.
Some of the good stuff here. Theory one. Think of time as a huge donut.
Donuts.
Okay. If you're at point A and you want to go to point B, you can trek around the donut to point B or make a bridge in the middle and walk across it to point B. In the case of time traveling, it can trek from point A to point B instantly. I mean, you could do that by making a bridge. You could do it instantly like that. You'll be there in an instant, but during which the time your body is physically transported from point A to point B, which could be an instant to you, but time outside the hole continues as normal. And since you don't have to pass area C, future, or area D, past, to end up in front at point B, you'll actually have to tread through time to do that. So you actually gain time depending on how this works. You can tread to the future or the past, whichever one is unknown. Probably it is random in nature. You confused yet?
I am. Thoroughly confused. But
I don't have any calculations to prove my theory, I hope some astronomers can help me with this.
Okay. So he's like a donut.
But, yeah, it's very simple, actually. We have a donut. Everybody knows what a donut is. Well, me and Doug know what donuts are.
Right. They're
good.
Oh, I know even where to get them. Speaking of donuts, isn't it coming up on Fat Tuesday?
Oh, God.
Around here with those punchkies?
Those things are horrible.
Oh, man, they're loaded with calories and good stuff. Like sugar.
Health food.
Yeah. Nice, delicious sugar. Okay, donut. That's a Taurus.
Okay.
Not T-A-U-R-U-S, like in sky kind of things, but Taurus, like T-O-R-U-S.
Yeah.
That's the formula that creates a donut.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What?
Well, not...
What he's basically saying, though, what he's really saying, he or she is saying, is that as opposed you have a donut, you have 2 points of time on each side of the donut. Instead of going all the way around or halfway around to get to point B from point A, why don't we just make a bridge across the donut itself, bisect the donut itself, and go straight across to point B?
Right, and the theory, and in that theory also, they're saying that that particular travel, I don't know, action,
uh-huh,
could be instantaneous.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. What happens, though, evidently, for even beyond that stuff, because that's all very technical stuff.
Yeah.
I read in the book,
mm-hmm,
that I was reading about Nostradamus about time theory, that she was saying something along the lines of, the way people perceive time could be changing. And the reason is because, for example, when I was growing up and when you were growing up, it was mostly, everybody had the, you know, analog clocks with the hands going around.
Okay.
All watches were analog when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then eventually they were those red glowing LED ones where you had to push the push a little button in order to see it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it became digital, you know, digital looking.
Sense.
So what's the difference? The difference is it could change how you perceive time, because if you're sitting there looking at an analog watch and you watch the second hand sweeping across, or even the minute hand or hour hands, you know, those don't sweep very quickly, but, you know, going around and around and around, you get more of, you get a different sense of time than if you watch a digital watch or a digital clock just flipping a number.
Yeah.
And they said, her theory was that it's a difference between, I don't know what the circular, what an analog sense of time, or a linear sense of time. Like, time would be cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, cyclical.
Okay.
If you're sitting there experiencing time while watching an analog clock.
Okay.
Okay, you could get an impression that time is cyclical because
you're literally seeing it happen.
Comes wow. back to 60 seconds, goes around.
That's like watching grass
back,
grow, but you're
back.
Literally watching it happen, though.
Right, and you're watching
in a
the time
in a cyclical sense. Now.
Because it's coming back around, going back around, going back around. Whereas with the digital watches, it's linear.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps growing and growing and getting, you know, progressing. Linear.
But here's the thing to think about, though, too. Most digital watches, they have your hour and then your minutes. But there are stopwatches that actually break it down further and further.
Milliseconds,
stuff like that. So in that sense, you could be. Well, it's not a cyclical sense. I don't even know what you call that.
If
but you would,
yeah, if you were watching, but at the same time, the milliseconds they just keep building and building. I mean, eventually they do flip back around,
okay.
but it just resets back to zeros.
Uh-huh.
But what happens is. The sense of time you perceive, like what you get when you're watching the hands sweep around the dial versus the counter just increasing until it gets too high and then go back to zero.
Okay.
Right? And then increase again until it gets too high and then go back to zero. That's not a cyclical feeling.
Okay.
That's more like a digital or... And she was saying linear feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about that is I had read that in a book
mm-hmm.
just last week. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 2 or 3 days ago, I was listening to Dr. Oh, gosh. I'm going to get email, I know. Dr. Joy Brown.
Okay.
She's, here in the United States, she's like a radio personality. She's on regular radio syndicated show. Where what she does is she's like a psychiatrist. And she actually mentioned this. She mentioned the way kids view time. And she says that kids nowadays are viewing time through, you know, watching digital watches versus analog watches. And that really floored me because I had just read in the Nostradamus book about, you know, the difference between the two. So I'm like, dang, you know, something's got to be done here because both, I heard that same reference 2 times. Within a few days. We have a caller, maybe.
Uh-oh.
No, maybe they hung up.
Who hung up?
I don't know. I saw it flash once.
Call again.
Oh, well. If you're calling into Ghostly Talk, by the way, 1-888-520-1969. If it's ringing, you're next. Because there is one line.
Yeah, we only have one line here.
Yeah, so it's like, if it's ringing, you are next. As soon as we reach over and hit the button. So if you hang up thinking, oh, they're not listening to me, you know... that's not how it works here. If it's ringing, you are next.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hang up, that's your own fault. Okay. Now, so I had seen that reference twice, that there's a difference in how people are perceiving time because of the way we watch time happen on clocks.
Well, could we say also, I mean, this. Oh, are they here now?
Okay, let's see what
Hello?
They have to say.
Okay.
Is it?
It's ringing.
Just try it. It'll
have to be. Hey!
They're hanging up. We're getting pranked.
Somebody's pranking us.
Yeah.
Stop that.
So
one thing about time, though, as far as, well, the way things are nowadays, as opposed to back then in the good old days, I mean, time itself, we both know this, Doug. I mean, the older you get, it seems like the less time you have to do anything. Time just flies. And there is the phone call. You are on Ghostly Talk.
Hi.
What's up?
Who are we speaking to?
This is Disrola.
Oh, hello, Mr. Olaf. How you doing?
What's up?
Let's turn you up here a little bit.
I heard you guys were talking about time travel.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, have you done it?
No, I haven't done it.
Oh,
why not?
Darn.
I don't believe in time travel. I don't think it's possible, actually.
Why not?
Because everyone just assumes that, you know, the donut theory and stuff like that, that time is like a timeline, something like ink you can cross over and stuff like that. I just believe that time is actually something that people came up with, like an idea, just to keep track of stuff.
Well, yeah, that's through the ages.
How it's most easily viewed because we do, you know, experience time in that manner, in a linear manner, over the course of our lives.
Uh-huh.
So that's the easiest way to see it. But I mean, do you think that is the true nature of time? Is how we experience it?
Pretty much. I just believe that, like, well, I think we're looking at it the wrong way. Like, not time as being something that's physical, just like time's like, you know, it's there and just like, you know, now is now, and that's all you're going to get.
So you look at it from a very simple point of view, as in you can't move within time.
Yes.
We're looking at what happens in the next few minutes here on Ghostly Talk, for example. It just happens.
Well, and that's a really nice, I like it, and I think that in our day-to-day lives, that's probably how it works, but at the same, you know, time, Mr. Olaf, there is that theory, you know, the Einstein theory of relativity and stuff, and he was pretty smart, right? And he had said something along the lines of, as you move faster, like as you approach the speed of light, time for you slows down.
I guess everything would be pretty slow if, you know, you're traveling the speed of light.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, if you're looking outside your, like, little capsule window at,
things are going really quickly,
yeah, instead of just your molecules. But
yeah.
Still, I mean, it, as something approaches the speed of light, time for it slows down, which is a really difficult theory to, like, wrap your brain around, if you ask me. Because I have a question about that, too.
Okay.
If a particle of light, whether it's a wave or a particle, because, you know, light has those dual properties, for example,
mm-hmm.
and light is traveling pretty much at the speed of light, isn't it?
300 million miles a second.
Meters.
Meters a second.
Yeah. So what
this
happens...
This is wrong, then. Okay, anyways.
What happens is when light is traveling, like that little particle of light or wave of light, depending on, you know, what characteristic it's using at the time... Is it existing at the same moment of time that it always has and always will exist at? I don't get it.
Well, yeah, we're talking about some serious physics here, and a lot of the explanation in that, where you can actually get your arms around it, so to say, would be in numbers.
Right.
Talking about it from a theoretical point of view, that's what's going to make this a damn hard show to do.
But it has to be done. So, Mr. Olaf. What if we all were traveling in our little capsules or something at the speed of light?
Well, I'm not really like that person, like the subject of all that stuff. But if that is true, if something when you approach the speed of light, stuff to slow down, I could see that maybe happening. But as there's someone building a machine where you can like travel back 50 years and change the past,
okay,
and so it all just the future, I don't think that's possible.
Oh, I understand.
Well,
okay.
That's a whole different side of it. That's a whole different side of it where you're creating paradoxes in time.
Yeah. So you're not talking about the theoretical mathematical.
The mechanics of time.
You're talking
travel
about
stuff.
Like getting some wires and
getting a flux capacitor like in Back to the Future. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
So you're thinking that technologically is not and will never be possible?
I have to say, well, at least not in my lifetime. I mean, maybe hundreds and thousands of years from now, maybe. But I think that's something that, like, I don't know, maybe only God can do for right now. I don't know if it's actually, I just don't believe in that there's a timeline of time, actually. I think it's just the universal now.
But have you heard of reports of people experiencing bubbles in time? Because I know that first of all, your website, MrOlaf.com, right? You're really into paranormal stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you've undoubtedly heard stories of people experiencing little bubbles in time where they look into a room and they see it as it was, you know, 100 million years ago or whatever. And then
I actually have a very cool story on that. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, cool. We'll do that story later because that sounds cool. But have you read those stories about...
I've heard about a place in Gettysburg where they're on an elevator and the elevator kept on, like, when they pressed a fifth floor or something like that, the elevator just dropped to, like, the bottom floor. And when the door opened up, it was Gettysburg time, and it's like people were getting their limbs chopped off, and like it's like old surgery ward there or something like that.
Gross.
Ugh.
But actually, it may be like not a time bubble, maybe something's manifesting of like, you know, what's it called when the one type of haunting, whatever, that kind of replays itself.
Residual haunting.
The residual haunting.
Yeah.
Well, haunting that makes it look like it's back in the past.
Well, yeah, but when you talk about residual haunting, usually it's, from all the reading I've done on that, because I've done a lot of reading on residual hauntings, it usually is just some small occurrence. Usually it may just be one particular, I don't know how we would say this, one being doing something over and over again.
Or two beings.
Or an occurrence of, like, you know, Mary Magdalene walking across the field to meet her lover. We've talked about that 1,000 times here.
Yeah.
When you go down the elevator and you open the door up,
You
are in a whole different world. That's what you're basically saying. It's a whole different world. It's not what we're used to.
Only with, it's like, a couple of actors doing this, actors meaning, you know, ghost entities in that case.
Yeah.
Repeating something over and over. Yeah, I don't know, because it seems to me that these time bubbles or whatever these people experience, don't they describe, like, the room and the whole, like, area as being that of being in the past?
Besides the Gettysburg one that I heard about, I actually haven't heard of any other ones. But
Well, we got two for you that we'll read for, you know, later on in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a couple really good ones that Scott managed to pull up off the internet.
Yes, excellent. Tell you what, though. Yeah.
What is it?
It's 7:30.
Oh, my gosh, that was the fastest half hour.
See?
Well,
time travels so fast.
That's it, Mr. Olaf. Everybody,
yeah, we got
to MrOlaf.com.
Yes, and I understand your point completely, too, Mr. Olaf. I mean, think about it, though. Just think about that for a second. The idea of going back in time, just to do this, the idea of going back in time and creating a paradox.
Oh, let's talk about paradoxes next half hour.
We're going to do that.
Awesome.
We'll be right back on Ghostly Talk.
Cool. Thanks, Mr. Olaf.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Question for you. What do you get when you put a woman, who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been Resmerized.
traveling through time? We've all thought about it. I know we have.
Well, it's something that people love to think about.
It's something that people would like to do. I know for the sheer fact that in my life and in your life and in Will's life over here too, there's things we've done probably in the past, so to say, that we probably want to change, you know?
Well, either that or also people like to think about who would you most like to go back in time and meet?
Yeah.
What great event would you like to see? Like, would you like to see the building of the pyramids?
You know, psychic now?
What's well, up, I knew I knew that would get you.
Yeah.
Would you like to see the erection of Stonehenge? Would you like to see the?
What are you looking at me for? I didn't say anything.
Well, after I said that one word, I thought, people are going to love that.
You're the one with a dirty mind here, man. I didn't say a word.
I know.
You're the one who thought it.
Well, you know, we are on ZPR.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. you made a joke. Okay, so the erection of Stonehenge.
That
would be great. To go back in time like that. Well, I mean, I would like to go back in time. Like, you read my mind, man. You read my mind.
Oh, I know.
Okay. I want answers. I mean, obviously with the pyramids, just as one topic to go off on, there's so many questions about the pyramids, how they were built mainly. That's what my thing is like, why, how
these things, exactly.
These monuments get erected. Okay. I don't know if I'd really like to go back and meet anyone. Well, I'd like to actually, you know, mosey around with the workers and stuff and see what they're all about, but I probably couldn't communicate with any of them.
Right, because you wouldn't know the
language. And they'd probably start worshipping me or something. I mean, I don't know.
You got cool jewelry and a watch and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they'd be like, dang, he's hooked up. Well, that's not exactly how they think.
I mean, I would go back for answers, though. I would go back for answers on how it was done.
But there's a lot of people, you know, who, like, if they would think that if they could go back in time and change one thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and then, you know, see if the world was better, and you know, because of that change.
So that's where you start getting into some real deep discussion, because it's like, okay, what if, I mean, this is going to be touchy to bring up, but I'm sure a lot of us, with respect to time travel, would love to go back in time and find a way to get rid of Hitler.
Right.
That would have been a great thing to do.
That's got to be one of the most often cited.
Yeah.
You know, things often, that would be best for the entire human race if we could go back and erase that or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. What kind of world will we live in
now?
Right now, though, as a result of something like that, if it's true that you can actually create a paradox in time by doing something like that, if you could actually hop in your time machine and go back in time and find a way to knock off Hitler before he started, you know, while he was still in Munich or something like that. You know, I mean, what kind of world will we live in now? How drastic of a change would it have been as a result of that action?
Right, and well, people like to theorize then that it would be a better world.
We know for sure that if you were able to stop something like that, we wouldn't have to look back on what happened.
Right, Right, and so you wouldn't have that horrible, horrible history, that horrible chapter of, you know, events to look at.
Or go back to 9/11, for example, another horrible event we had in just recent history, recent history, and find a way to stop that, and find a way. And there's stories upon stories about people who can see. We have a call.
You're on Ghostly Talk. How may I help you?
Hello, this is Jeff. You know me as Thomas Cole.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, man?
Let me turn your volume down.
Feeding a little bit. Hang on.
You made the right subject for me.
Cool. What do you got to say? What's time travel to you?
Well, first of all, I mean, there's when discussing something as complicated as time, you have to talk about definitions first. And, of course, different people do have different interpretations of what time actually is.
Okay.
Now, you have time as regards to molecular activity, and I think that's possibly the best way to actually define time, i.e. how quickly the molecules are moving. But then you would say, okay, well then, if you put something in the fridge, time is slowing down. So is that really, really time slowing down? Not really.
It's
then
that's metabolic process is slowing down, I thought. For example, if you take a person and put their body in a deep hypothermia, they won't stop, but their body processes will slow down.
Yeah, no, that is a way of thinking of time, but it's not really what you would normally define
yeah,
as time.
Okay.
One way to look at it. Then you have to have a bear in mind that, as you described, when you have space travelers, people traveling at different speeds, time itself travels at a different rate according to the relative velocities of different bodies, so that if I have a twin on Earth and I'm traveling in a spacecraft at a different velocity, I will age at a different rate.
Uh-huh.
I remember earlier in the show, Mr. Olive was calling in saying he won't live hundreds of thousands of years or something. Well, theoretically, using this method, he would. If he could travel at near light speed, he may come back in a few years of his time having passed, and planet Earth could have gone through hundreds of thousands of years, so time travel could have been invented by then.
Okay. So what you may be saying is that time travel could be the actual fountain of youth that we've been looking for so many years also.
Well, no, because you're going to eventually, even if you do travel for a couple of years at the speed of light, come back
yeah.
and it's been a couple hundred thousand years, here on Earth,
yeah.
Your body is still going to break down eventually and you should pass away.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about living forever.
Unless they have found the fountain of youth.
I'm not talking about living forever.
Because all you've done really is you've aged at a different rate than the people on the Earth and the people on the Earth.
You aged at a slower rate then.
Right.
Well, there are other actual methods of time travel. We're looking forward to time travel at the moment. If you want to consider living forever, one method that's being used is cryogenic suspension.
Right.
Yeah.
This could be at the point after clinical death, which might not be actual death.
Right, exactly. That's what they're saying. That's why they freeze you right after you are clinically, pronounced deceased.
Brain dead. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they put you in a cryogenic chamber kind of thing, and stop your body from aging.
You would probably know this. How cold is it? I actually read this. How cold they freeze you at? What is the actual temperature you're frozen at? Isn't it something like minus 300 degrees?
Minus 300 degrees would be very difficult because minus 273 is absolute zero.
Yeah. Okay, all right. See, I read it a long time ago, and I'm just curious.
She could have been talking about that.
Zero Kelvin or something.
Maybe, I don't know. But, I don't really know the actual temperature they freeze your body at, but it's cold. We all know that. It's very cold.
I know I would not like it.
Mm.
I want the opposite, as a matter of fact. After I pass away, I want to be cremated. and exist as a pile of ashes.
Okay.
Hopefully somewhere in Lake Huron. Mm-hmm. If you could spread me out in Lake Huron. So.
Well, we'll keep that in mind here.
Yeah.
In case
cool.
anything happens, we'll take
cool.
care of that.
But I want the opposite. I don't want to be cold. I want to be burnt up. Well, my physical body anyway.
Yeah.
So
what you're saying though.
But then time for that body, time for that, mass of chemicals and neurons
uh-huh.
and all that stuff. Your time for that particular frozen carcass basically stops because you're not going to degenerate. Your cells and stuff are not going to deteriorate.
Decay, in other words,
But is that time travel?
Well, it's moving forward into the future. For example, think of it this way: you're aging a few days in what would be your body's aging process of decay, or however you want to put it, which would be maybe hundreds of years into the future. So, yes, it is, in a real sense, time travel, because if your body had just been put in a grave, there would be nothing to restore. But in a few hundred years' time, if your body is only effectively aged only a few days, then it might be restorable. Not with today's technology, but the technology of 300 years' time, that might be.
And it very well could be.
Well, that is the whole basis of cryogenics anyways, is to put your body in a state of suspended animation so that someday they have you on a log, I imagine, and okay, this person died of this particular ailment. 300 years down the road, they finally find the absolute cure for this. Let's bring them back and hit them with this whatever drug
the
they have.
Cure, and then...
And he can live his life again.
Right.
Which isn't cheap. We all know that.
No, and there's a lot of controversy about it as well. But it's an interesting idea. I wouldn't want
I mean,
it done to
traveling,
me.
Literally, I mean, who knows what, I mean, physically traveling time. When you think of traveling time, it's like,
you think of back in the future.
You have the spacesuit on, and you're in the capsule, and you're like, this stuff is just blowing by you. That's the impression I get. You know,
yeah.
I watched too much TV as a kid. But this is a different spin on that completely, though, because you're talking about, what I'm getting is, you're basically putting your body on hold.
Right. Well, what I think, Phobos, what you're talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, is you're talking about how time passes, you know, based on what the observer is. Because what you've done is you're defining the observer as basically an atom or a molecule or, a piece of a person, you know, like when you freeze a piece of a person.
One way of defining time. It's not really the best way. However, it is applicable.
Okay.
So certainly you've got a start there. By the way, it isn't as expensive as you think. You were talking about cryogenic suspension for the whole body, but now people are beginning to get the idea around this sort of this concept. They're realizing there's not really any necessity to spend out and preserve your whole body. A lot of people are opting just to have their heads removed.
That's what I was going to, I was going to mention that. I know, wasn't it Walt Disney who did have, his head is frozen? It's cryogenically frozen?
There may be another film, but if you're thinking of the film that I am, the Judge Dredd, I think it was.
No, I'm thinking of Walt Disney, the man Walt
Disney. Yeah, the man Walt Disney.
When he died, I believe I read that somewhere that his head was cryogenically frozen.
And then I believe
one of the first heads to be cryogenically frozen.
Yeah, but then
frozen.
I believe also that I read that was, a rumor. So I've read both.
The movie he's speaking of is Demolition Man.
Demolition Man?
Oh, Sylvester Stallone?
And Wesley Snipes, yeah.
Yo, Adrian, yo.
So a lot of people are getting their heads frozen instead of everything.
Which is cheaper.
Yeah.
Less storage space.
But I still don't want that happening to me.
Well, you know,
please don't.
You get a decent body.
Well, that's true.
You know, I mean, yeah, okay.
All right, so time travel as experience.
Not keen on options 1 and 2.
I'm not keen on either option. So that's time as experienced by ourselves, by our living selves. But as I experience time, I experience it as a conscious being.
Well,
and time. Yeah, well, sometimes.
Yeah.
Let me give you two other methods.
Okay.
First of all, this is still traveling forwards in time.
Okay.
Method number 3 would be using the simple Einstein principles that you mentioned earlier, relativity.
Mm.
And there was something which wasn't quite right there. You were talking about, what if you have something going at the speed of light? Well, yes and no. The speed of light compared to what? You see, it's all relative. No matter can actually travel at exactly the speed of light.
Right. Well, there's
only approaches the speed of light.
Right. Well, as you approach the speed of light, your mass becomes infinite or something like that. So what? So the problem
technical,
is
technical yeah. terms. I like that.
So yeah, but while I'm working on that with pizza, the infinite mass part. Pizza is helping me with infinite mass, but I don't. I know you cannot actually, according to the theory, you cannot actually reach the speed of light, where time would then be zero. However, light particles and light waves, don't they travel at the speed of light? I mean, by definition?
Yeah, they are not actually considered matter, though. They're more like a form of radiation.
Right, that's because light,
light has a duality aspect.
It has both.
A particle and a wave, but
it has
in fact, even fun. Strictly, you could say that even light doesn't have just one speed of travel. But it's a pretty good approximation as to the theoretical limit. For example, the normal light traveling through a vacuum won't travel as fast as light through a true vacuum. By true vacuum, I mean a void whereby no particles are appearing spontaneously and then disappearing, which is basically zero-point energy.
Right.
Now, if you removed all that soup of virtual particles coming in and out of existence, light would travel faster through that void. So even light doesn't travel at the maximum speed, so to speak. But it's only used as an illustration as to an upper limit.
Right. So if you were able to reach the speed of light, though, time would stand still, right? I mean, for you. According to...
You can't reach the speed of light is the argument. So yeah. You can't really theorize that if you reach it. But as you approach it, what you certainly would notice as you looked out of your spacecraft is everything would seem to speed up. And conversely, of course, anything looking at you sees you slow down. So your stopwatch, your watch on your wristwatch, the second hand on it, will seem to go slower and slower and slower. But to you, it's going at the same speed, and their wristwatches, second hands, are suddenly going fast. You follow that?
You mean
yes.
Their well, no, to them, their wristwatches are going the same speed as they always were.
Yeah.
But if you were to look at their wristwatch somehow, uh-huh. It would be going, like, absolutely ridiculously quickly.
Because your time is slowing down.
Because your wristwatch is...
As you approach the speed of light.
Right. Hence the relativity part, because it's relative to the observer.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what we're talking about, and the easy way to visualize this, is a sort of variable we'll call T. You have... Everything has a T state, and it's variable. It can be altered by the speed you travel, or if you enter, say, a strong gravitational field, that too will affect it.
Oh, hence black holes and stuff.
Oh, it's simpler than that. Two people living, one on top of a building, one at the bottom floor. They're going to age at different rates.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to that one again.
Do I want to be on the top? I want to be on the top floor.
I'm thinking about moving again here, and, you know.
He wants to know what floor to go on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because, do you mean because through actual physical space, people on the top floor are traveling faster?
No, I'm not thinking of the speed aspect. I'm thinking of the fact that you're further from the center of the Earth. But actually, both come into play. So I suppose you could say one near a mountain and one further away from the mountain.
Yeah.
It'd be very small, though. But, yes, the gravitational field, that's a key point. That, too, affects your T state. If you think of it as a T factor, the speed at which time seems to travel for you, then it gets simpler. Now, bear in mind that there has been reports of experiments which actually modify this state.
Do you mean what they were doing with, they're trying, as a matter of fact, somebody or other tried to transmit information instantaneously, and they claim they have done it.
Right, is called quantum teleportation.
Yes.
That is where you take entangled particles, perhaps say from a Bose-Einstein condensate, which is like a new state of matter. Now, it doesn't really matter what you're talking about is a soup of atoms that are effectively one atom. Now, you can create a much simpler form. Just remember I was talking about zero-point energy, where virtual particles come in and out of existence?
Right.
Well, if you can get the circumstances right, you can actually end up with a pair of particles that are entangled. That is, they are interdependent on each other. You do something to one, it affects the other. You separate those particles, and you do something to one, it affects the other.
That's exactly what I had read, yes.
Yeah, well, that is how you teleport information. There is a complication which often people used to raise, which would say that, oh, no, you can't do that because... And then they would bring in certain arguments like Heisenberg's uncertainty theory and things like this.
Right.
But actually, those arguments don't hold. There are methods to solve that for transporting information over a distance. In fact, yes, it has been done, as you said. It's been done in Australia.
Is that where that was? I knew I had read that, but I didn't remember the specifics, of course.
Yeah, and I don't know if you realize, but just this teleportation whereby information is transferred instantly over any distance at all, faster than light, it has an enormous effect on the whole future of the human race. I don't know if you realize just how important that is. If it is absolutely confirmed, it seems to have been confirmed, but it's so important it really has to be totally confirmed.
Oh, definitely. Because that would change the, you know, the basis of, is this subatomic physics, or is this,
It is, it's a quantum.
Quantum physics.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's using one of the principles of quantum theory, which is really still under debate, but the experiments seem to be backing it up. Now, if we are able to send a message faster than the speed of light, what that means is that should we ever start colonizing stars, it could actually totally determine whether or not our species continues to exist. In fact, it's most likely it would cause the extinction of our species. That's how important it is.
Well, I'd rather it not.
You're scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I know. And maybe there's a loop.
Please stop it. You're scaring me, Phobos.
But the problem is, you see, that if the human species manages to spread between stars, and if we can't send information between the stars faster than the speed of light, then how's somebody going to send a doomsday message?
Right. You wouldn't be able to... You wouldn't be able to communicate at all.
You wouldn't be able to communicate, yeah. Period.
It would be ridiculously too long, and then,
it'd be,
you know,
too late.
Oh, they're coming, and they had already been there.
Yeah.
Right. And also, who's going to want to go to another star and leave all their relatives back on planet Earth?
Well, there are people who would do that.
maybe. But it does have some very big implications. I mean, it doesn't guarantee that the human species is going to someday find some sort of doomsday solution. There may be cults, for example, that shun technology, find a star of their own, and never listen in on this global chit-chat. But there's an awful lot. But that's straying a little bit from your subject matter, so we shouldn't go too much further down there. Back in time, didn't you?
Back in time, yeah. How would you go back in time?
Okay, well, first of all, when you start, I mean, forward in time and backwards in time to science isn't so radically different. That's something you've got to bear in mind. I mean, there's talk about tachyons, but they've never been found. Now, that's particles that travel faster than the speed of light and can never slow down to the speed of light. They travel backwards through time.
That I also know.
Right.
Well, I mean, I know that they have not been found, but
let me give you, because I did say in the chat room I'd mentioned this, so I think I should bring it up. Here's one paradox, because there's loads of them, but I don't think this one's ever been said. Do you remember the film Back to the Future?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yes, no, actually I enjoyed both films, the two that I had seen. Are there more than two?
Okay.
I think there's a couple more.
There's a couple more, but I had seen two of them, and I did enjoy them very much.
Okay, let me put this through your mind at the moment, because this is a good one. You're Marty McFly, and you're in your DeLorean, and I think it's 88 you say is magic speed. So your car's just approaching 88 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, at 88, it's going to start traveling backwards through time. Okay?
Yeah, that's how the movie worked anyway.
Yeah.
So, let's say at 12 o'clock, it's reached the magical 88 miles an hour. At 1 second to 12 o'clock, where will the car be?
Well, it would...
Dead air, it's our friend.
On the motor, if you want, but there's going to be two of them, aren't there?
No, I don't think so. I think
one going forwards in time, one going backwards in time.
Not at 1 second to 12 o'clock.
Well, okay.
There's only going to be the one that is approaching.
Well, it's forward then. So at 12 o'clock, he's
exactly.
Reaching.
Exactly. There's going to be two cars.
And by his watch at 12:01, where will he be in time?
He will be wherever his destination was.
He'll be traveling backwards in time.
Okay,
where would he be at?
Oh, he will be traveling backwards in time, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, it is a big assumption. But if he is traveling backwards through time, and it takes a certain amount of time to get back, he's basically going to be somewhere in some other location traveling backwards through time, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So when he's near 12 o'clock, he's going forwards, and when he's just after 12 o'clock, he's going backwards through time. Okay? The car is in two separate locations, either side of 12 o'clock, but his car, at just nearly 12 o'clock, is going both forwards and backwards through time, isn't it?
Right, there is that split instant where there is one going forward, one going backward.
Right, so, at the very nearest point to 12 o'clock, his car's in two locations that are practically on the same spot, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, so you get closer to 12 o'clock, and those atoms from both versions of Marty McFly and both versions of the car come closer and closer to the same point, which is the 12 o'clock point, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
So now look at the 12 o'clock point, or rather the closest point as I've been describing.
And it's,
the atoms are going to be so close, and they're about to collide, that they will be overlapping, won't they?
Right. And
that is called nuclear fusion. not a pretty sight, is it?
You don't take any drugs, do you, Phobos?
Nuclear fusion. Yeah, you wouldn't really want that to happen to you either. At least you wouldn't want to experience it. No. But I think that there's other theories too, and unfortunately we've run out of our half hour.
Yeah.
But there's other theories too, where at that moment of time, where at that like split instant, you would create a dimensional, like there would then be another timeline created instantly.
I think it really would come down to the point whereby if he instantly travels to some other point in space and time, then no problem. If he, however, goes backwards slowly through time or whatever speed, then you would expect some sort of nuclear reaction.
And that would not be good for Marty McFly or Hollywood.
Oh, no, so. Not at all. Tell you what, Phobos, you know, he's throwing some really good ideas out here. Phobos is throwing some great ideas. Do you want to hold the line while we go into our break here? We got to take a break here. You want to hold on the line, Phobos?
I'll be here.
All right, hang tight. We got to go on break. think about this stuff, though, people. I mean, because really, Phobos calls every week. And then, no, it's cool.
He always has. Totally blows us away.
Yeah, he totally blows us away. And he's been the cause of more dead air on this show.
He leaves us speechless.
No, but this is the things you have to think about, though.
Exactly.
That's really cool. That's where we're going to keep you on. Give us a few minutes. You're listening to Ghostly Talk. We'll be right back.
A question for you. What do you get when you put a woman who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in the sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been Resmerized.
Finally got it. I got one of them toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah? What's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1969.
Can we write this down? It's 1-888-520-1969.
Yeah. That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though. We'll talk to you later.
Cool. Catch up.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
No one, no one, no one. man.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk
with
Scott Duggan Phobos.
Yeah, Scott Duggan Phobos.
Our in studio guest appearance.
Ooh, I don't have my headphones on yet, so I can't hear anything. Okay.
Now you're back in.
I'm back online.
You're back in. You're back
yes.
in.
Let us. We were talking about time travel, time theory, the theory of relativity.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Back to the Future.
Yeah.
and how when the DeLorean reaches 88 miles an hour, if it happens to do it exactly at 12 o'clock, what happens at that instant? And of course, if it takes time to travel
back in time,
if it's not instantaneous, basically nuclear fusion would have happened. Or will happen at that precise moment. Probably very uncomfortable in the DeLorean at that point. So what I wanted to get to, and we held Phobos over because we wanted to hear his intake because he's like the master at this stuff,
uh-huh.
right? What happens if at that instant in time that you start traveling in time, you basically have another dimension happen? You create, by doing this exact thing, by traveling in time, you create another dimension with a different timeline. And that's another thing that causes it. It's an interesting theory to me, personally, because what happens is you've got, well, I can just, my mind reels with the number of dimensions that could happen, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, because it would be, some kind of exponential function. But what happens is when suddenly you have two dimensions and then four and then eight and then, you know, as things go on, it solves certain paradoxes. That particular theory solves the grandfather paradox.
Uh-huh.
If you go back and kill your grandfather, right?
Yeah.
Partially solves the meeting yourself paradox, where if you meet yourself in, you know, if you go into, you know, back in time or forward in time or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you create another dimension, you meet yourself and cancel yourself out. Okay? It partially solves that because in those two timelines, in your original timeline and then in that one that you've created by going into it, creating it,
yes.
You then don't exist. But in other timelines, other dimensions, you do exist still. So you do exist somewhere, but just not right there. So it solves a couple things, or it solves one thing wholly, and it solves another thing partially. There's other paradoxes with time travel as well, but those are the two that I'm thinking of right now. So, Phobos.
Yeah, I think you have to be a little bit careful about the terms here, because we're not really talking about another dimension. You're talking about a parallel universe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, parallel universe. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's basically an offshoot from the multiple universe theories that are floating around. There's a few variations of them. But the idea being that the universe that you're existing in right now can split off at any time into lots of different universes based on where one particular possible outcome occurs, a cat dies when it crosses the street, versus a different universe where the cat didn't cross the street, it carried on wherever it was going, and so that cat is now alive and ready to affect the rest of the universe. So there you've suddenly got a split in the universe, you've got multiple universes. They're even theorizing on computing side that using multiple universes, you could actually solve computational problems using parallel processing, not in the same universe, but in multiple universes. So there's an awful lot with this multiple universe theory, and there's some real-world applications if they can solve the complications. But we're talking about multiple universes rather than dimensions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did mean multiple universes.
Well, you're talking about computing and trying to solve problems.
11 dimensions anyway.
You're talking about computing and trying to solve problems within a multidimensional universe. I mean, really, I mean, we're looking, I mean, with computing itself, I mean, what I'm thinking of is if you're going to try to solve problems like that, you're going into some type of artificial intelligence, for example, and wouldn't that be more, I mean, but we really don't have that type of intelligence yet as far as on the digital realm goes. Wouldn't that just be more or less just a multiple virtual universe where, I mean, we could get a model and try to, like, explain things through computing? I mean, that really couldn't affect the universe itself.
Oh, you mean to create some kind of mathematical model to model this parallel universe theory?
Yeah.
Oh, they undoubtedly have some things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they do, but I mean, what you said, Phobos, it almost was as if we could actually affect the universe from a computer sense.
No. We're saying that you create separate universes based on where they could branch off, but there could be millions of branching off points happening all the time. By time traveling, if you look at it, it really isn't any different from any of the other branching. If there are multiple universes, then you traveling back in time, yes, you'll have a separate universe timeline there, but it's no different from the cat that happens to choose to cross the street or not. There's really no difference between the two at all.
Did we choke you up?
Yeah.
That's another one of the theories of multiple universes is pretty much every decision you make is going to create another split. And I don't particularly subscribe to that theory, though. I think if you were to do something major, like travel in time, that could, you know, break off another universe.
Well, that would be a pretty big thing on my to-do list if I was to do something like that tomorrow, for example.
Yeah.
That would be probably
or yesterday.
That would. That would probably be the, you know, one of my, you know, the highlighted area of my to-do list.
I get the
highlighter out and go, okay,
I have to
go
sure.
Shopping. Go grocery shopping.
Break the universe into two.
Yeah. Take over the world.
Uh-huh.
We'll do that tomorrow. So I'm trying to put my arms around this also, live on the air in front of millions of people.
I know, we're thinning.
Thank you, Phobos. Appreciate that.
I'm glad that you were able to correct me.
Can I set up a scenario here?
Okay.
We're talking about, I mean, we're not simply just talking about, hey, I want to go back in time.
Let's
go back in time.
We were, but now we're...
We're talking about millions of universes, for example, okay? If I wanted to truly create a paradox in time, I wanted to go back and... I don't want to kill my grandpa. I like my grandpa.
Well, no, that's just a...
I know, but I don't want to talk about that because I like my grandpa. If I want to go back and change my major in college...
Okay.
I want to go back and change my major in college. Okay. So I'm going to go back in time and go back to when I graduated high school. Or whatever revelation I had to go into what I did go into, which I don't know why I did, but I want to go back in time and do that. Now I am faced with not only the problem of going back in time itself, let's say we have 10 different universes out there.
Okay.
Where there may be 10 different scenarios for my life as far as my professional life goes. Which one do I go to? That's the problem I'm seeing now is, okay, I want to go back in time and change my major in college. Go back so I can do that if I can't do it now. How do I know where to go? How would I know where to go to actually create that paradox in the time I'm in right now where I'm sitting here in the Haunted Basement Studios?
Well, you'd create a paradox immediately. I mean, let's look at it. Let's just say you've succeeded. You've gone back in time, and whatever you've done, you've majored in, I don't know, whatever subject you want to major in, you've got yourself some brilliant qualifications, and you're now able to go for that dream job, okay?
Uh-huh.
So you're not...
The way I was supposed to be, yeah.
...follow the same path you followed, correct?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
You're not going to follow the same path, are you? You're going to become a doctor or a lawyer, but you're certainly not going to become a time traveler, are you?
No.
So you won't be going back in time and giving yourself this gift of knowledge.
Right, because what he's saying that like right now, you here and now want to go back in time and change your major, right? But by learning enough and building the machine or whatever you have to do to do it, you create the paradox in that you then will not want to do it in the future once you have gone back and changed your major and everything is wonderful once your major has been changed. So you will not have then gone back to change your major.
Suicide is the only option right now. You guys are confusing the hell out of me.
Because you will not in the future want to go back. You won't want to go back and change your major anymore.
So I, in essence, I have created the paradox.
Well, you've destroyed a universe.
Yay! Where's the hand claps at? Where's the hand claps at?
Do we have
one? I have destroyed a universe. Thank you. Thank you.
Let me give you two variations on that.
I'm sorry. You've got to listen to the replay.
World Crusher, Scott L. I never mess with you.
Okay, here's your first variation on that.
Okay.
Multiple universes. You are going back in time. You're creating a brand new parallel universe. It's a different timeline.
Okay.
Well, no, that other you may as well be somebody else. You're going to give that wonderful future, but it's not really to yourself. It's another you that's going to benefit. No problem. You can come back to your own universe. You've still got the same job.
So you haven't really destroyed the universe.
That's what I'm saying. There's 10 different universes out there, 10 different me's floating around. Mm. How am I going to know where to go? I guess I'm not going to be able to go.
They've got their own universe each. You've only temporarily created and then stayed in that parallel universe for a little while.
How come
back?
That's such a crappy one?
Well, for every one of you that has a crappy one, there's another one that's living the life.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So that's variation two. How about variation three? Now here, you have a completely different arrangement. You don't have one universe that's splitting into multiple universes as time's going by and events occur whereby one thing could go off one way, one thing could go... You've got a different arrangement here. Here you have parallel universes, but they're truly parallel. They don't have a natural link between them. It's a completely different universe. They don't overlap, but you can jump between them. Now, they may have had a common origin. They may have certain similarities, depending on if there is some links between them. But if this is other universe, and remember, universe is a pretty big thing, there may be another you out there, and you could perhaps jump to the other universe and jump back. Now here, it's just like you're doing something next door. Again, it's another person, it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going next door, messing up the house and coming back. It's not really going to affect your
Well,
story of my life.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very productive, because then you really haven't changed anything for yourself.
Yeah, what you're saying is...
You've changed something for the other you.
I'm better off just staying here and going back to college.
Yeah. and declaring a new major and starting over in college, yeah.
In this lifetime, in my life right here.
Right.
That's how a true... Cool. That isn't a true paradox, that's just changing things.
Because the next thing we're going to talk about, I think, are those two interesting stories, right? So, Phobos, before we let you go, time bubbles. Have you heard stories of people experiencing little rifts in time?
Well, I've heard, for example, about the Philadelphia experiment, which is similar.
Yes.
That's possibly as near. The others, they're just reports, but that one's probably gotten more going for it.
Well, that's an interesting one, but I mean more like what Mr. Eloff was saying, where they get on an elevator and then the elevator doors open up and there's a completely different time going on.
Yeah, put a comment on the chat room as you were saying that. We're talking about possibly wormholes.
Yeah.
That is perfectly acceptable, but the problem is, how would you travel through a wormhole? It'd have to be pretty big. And wormholes in nature are tiny.
Well, stay tuned, because you'll want to listen to the couple of stories that Scott L. dug up, okay?
Okay.
And speaking of which, Zero Point Radio, if you go to www.zeropointradio.com, click on Interact and then Chat, I think. Make up a name, and you'll be in the room with the illustrious Phobos.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other cool people, so.
Thank you, Phobos.
Thanks, Phobos.
Per usual, you always enlighten us on Ghostly Talk here.
Enjoy talking on the show.
You get the applause.
Yeah, you're getting the applause.
All right, Phobos, we'll talk to you later, okay?
Thanks, Phobos.
Hey, bye-bye.
Hey, bye there.
I still say he should have been the voice of Lexius.com or whatever it is that they play on ground. There's a commercial.
Does he wear a bow tie?
Who?
Phobos.
I mean,
maybe I'm being completely stereotypical here.
No, he's a computer geek, I think. I'm not sure.
When he calls in, I mean, your voice rules, by the way. I wish I had a cool
voice
like that.
Well, that's the thing. There's that commercial that's played on Ground Zero, and it's some fellow with, like, an Australian accent or something. And I'm like, you know, they really should have had Phobos do it, because he's really got the voice.
But literally, as this gentleman talks to us, it's like, I can picture myself sitting in a classroom.
Uh-huh.
You know, just
learning just, constantly.
There's a blackboard, you know, and there's this man with a tweed suit on, with a bow tie on, just throwing down, just laying the science down on us, and we're going, huh?
Well,
what? Like I'm doing right now.
I don't know if
I'm being horribly stereotypical, and I apologize. But,
yeah, I don't know. If
and
he,
it's a compliment, actually. It's a
I don't know
compliment.
If he subscribes to the Hollywood theory of what a professor would look like, but definitely, you know, you do learn
no, we do,
a lot.
We
and
do appreciate
why we do Ghostly Talk.
That's the kind of calls we want to get here too.
Because
I mean, there's
Phobos has no bow tie.
No, he's
no?
not. Cool.
Well, what do you wear?
Hey, this is sounding like one of them 976 numbers here.
What are you wearing right now, Phobos?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I'm kidding. No,
all right.
That's the kind of calls we like to get here, though. That's the kind of calls we like to get here.
Exactly.
Really, I mean, we say this every single week. We don't know what half the time.
And we want to learn.
We want to learn just like everybody else out there that listens to Zero Point, listens to Ghostly Talk, listens to whatever. They want to learn new things about this and learn things about things around us. And themselves, possibly, by doing that.
Right. And if anybody's interested in any topic that we're presenting...
And you know something we don't know, hit us.
Yeah, call us up. Or if it's interesting to you, study it.
Go
to Google.
Exactly.
Type in time travel. See what
we
got. Yeah. Let's talk about the... What?
Why don't we take a break, okay? Because we're almost at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, an early break this time.
Well, we'll start fresh, though.
Okay.
We'll start fresh.
We want to get to those cool stories about time bubbles or whatever, or rips in time.
And all kinds of goodly goodness here on Ghostly Talk. We're going to take a quick break, chill, get something to drink. I'm shot. How about you, Doug?
I'm ready to go to bed.
I'm tired.
Cool stuff.
We'll be right back.
I got one of them toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah, what's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1970. 69.
Can we write this down? It's 1-888.
Yeah.
520.
Mm-hmm.
1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, Doug. We'll talk to you later, dude.
Cool. Catch ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's paranormal and scientific. It's ghostly talk.
Sticks at the door.
Yeah. Keep them out of your mouth, for God's sake. Put people with these stupid things in their mouth all the time. What is that? You know what? When I was a bouncer, that was the one theory I threw down. I was like, these people with these stupid glow sticks in their mouths. Now, the reason for that, though, the reason for that is because when you take ecstasy, you tend to bite down real hard.
Yeah.
It makes your jaw clench. And that's why people would put these things in their mouth to bite on something so they wouldn't screw their teeth up. Okay? So...
when those things break, they taste terrible.
Do they?
Yeah.
I never have one. I don't like the taste of glow stuff, so...
Yeah. I think we lost our raver audience.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, no. But my theory was though is like, okay, when I used to bounce, I used to be a hard guy.
Yeah.
I was waiting. I'd sit around there, and these people walk in. Yeah, it's my ID. It's my ID. Okay, great. Yeah, here, get in. Okay, $5. Get in. And they'd have the thing in their mouth, and I'm like, somebody's gonna punch that person, or somebody's gonna bump that person, and I'm gonna be out there. Yeah.
Groove.
Yeah.
Get your groove.
Somebody's gonna bump that person though, right? And they're gonna like start choking on that thing. It never happened, but I know it's happened somewhere. And I'm sure the glow stick company is like fighting off multiple suits right now. But now I'm talking about the thing itself getting choked down. Choking on it and having to lodge in your throat.
A piece of plastic.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Anyways.
Okay.
Sorry.
But in some universe that didn't happen, you know.
Yeah.
And so there.
So in this universe, it didn't happen to me. Where
I'm hoping in some universe I'm a multimillionaire because I won the lotto or something. That's, you know, that's what I'll tell my creditors anyway.
Well, if you were able to jump universes, that would be very convenient.
I'm having
a crap day in this universe. So I'm going to jump over to this universe where I am the doctor and the lawyer.
Yeah.
And, you know, my hobbies include tongue kissing for hours at a time and comic books. You know, I mean, there you go. That's and I'm going to keep jumping around back and forth. You know, when I'm having a bad day, I just go, hey, wouldn't that be great for all of us if we could do that? Just go somewhere else and leave. I know we all think about that.
Uh-huh.
And want to do that a lot
sometimes
of times. Yeah.
Now.
Wow. So.
I want to talk about more of that bubble in time kind of thing.
Okay.
Wormhole, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Olaf brought it up, you know, the elevator doors open and you're looking at a Revolutionary War scene where people are, you know, getting their limbs chopped off, et cetera, et cetera. What are the other stories that you had dug up off the internet?
What I found was, it really wasn't about, you know, we talked a lot about dimensions, multiple dimensions. This they refer to as a temporal vortex. Don't ask me what the hell that means, because I have no clue.
Okay.
But it sounds cool, and that makes me sound smart, so, you know.
Really smart. Yeah, I like that.
I'll just crank this story out real quick. Okay, here we go. Dead air is our friend, again.
Dead air.
Dr. Aurel Rios Centeno, a medical doctor and investigator of the paranormal, recounted to author Scott Corrales a story told to him by one of his patients, a 30-year-old woman, who came to him with a serious case of hemiplegia.
Okay.
Hemiplegia.
Half of her body was paralyzed.
Yeah. Hemiplegia. Thank you. Thank
there you.
There you
go. That
applause. Cool. Applause. Applause.
He's
dropping the ball. Hemiplegia. Thank you. Thank you. The total paralysis of one side of her body. Maybe I should just said that. I was at a campground in the vicinity of Markuwasi. I got that right. I'm not making it up. She told him Markuwasi is the famous stone forest located about 35 miles east of Lima, Peru. So elevation very low, by the way. That's, you know, Peru has the lowest elevation on the planet?
No, I didn't know that.
Thank you.
Wow, good job.
It's like the only geography I know. I went out exploring late at night with some friends. Oddly enough, we heard the strains of music and noticed a small torch-lit stone cabin.
Okay, so you're out in this stone forest. You hear music.
Yeah.
You go to investigate, and it's a small torch-lit stone cabin.
You got it. I was able to see people dancing inside. But upon getting closer, I felt a sudden sensation of cold, which I paid little attention to, and I stuck my head through the open door. It was then that I saw the occupants were clad in 17th century fashion. I tried to enter the room, but one of my girlfriends pulled me out. It was at that moment that half of the woman's body became paralyzed.
Was it because the woman's friend pulled her out of the stone cabin when she was half entered into it? Was half her body caught in some temporal vortex or dimensional doorway? Dr. Centennial reported that an EEG was able to show that the left hemisphere of the brain did not show signs of normal functioning, as well as an abnormal amount of electric waves. Now, that's a trip right there. For the simple fact that, what she did, basically, she didn't think anything of it. What's going on here? Maybe, this is some type of theme party going on here that I'm missing? I mean, that's what I would have thought. Like, hey, party. People are dressed in 17, those nice dresses. I'm running to the cabin. I'm not walking. I'm running to the cabin. So I probably would have ended up going all the way in and just turning into a ball of mush.
Yeah, whatever happened after that. Well, what's interesting is, so this lady, she's out with her friends in a stone forest at night.
Yeah.
You know, that happens all too often with us. I mean, we're out in the wee hours of the morning in cemeteries or fields or wherever is reputed to be haunted.
Yeah.
And, kind of brings a whole new meaning to ghost hunting.
I don't think we've honestly experienced a temporal vortex.
I've never done that yet. So what happens is you go and you see this cabin with all kinds of activity going on. You go, she almost went all the way in. When she was pulled out, half of her body was paralyzed, the half that had been in the cabin.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's not pretty cool.
No, I mean,
not
for her, but no, it's a pretty cool story because it sure, you could probably talk about that for hours, but it reminds me of a story that I had read in, first plug that site that came from.
Came from Unexplained Mystery, www.unexplained-mysteries.com/article-time-travel.html.
Cool.
That's where that came from.
So,
check it out.
Unexplained-mysteries.
Yeah, check out the website. It's very cool.
It's awesome. But anyway, so we've got, that reminds me of a story that I read.
Yeah.
It had to have been in one of Frederick Stonehouse's books.
Uh-huh.
And he does Haunted Lakes and Haunted Lakes 2. And I imagine there's probably more out by now.
Yeah.
But I only own those two right now. The family had been traveling on the Great Lakes in a boat. And they come up to this island. They go on the island. And they go up to this, what used to be the house that's attached to a lighthouse.
Okay.
And it's lit, and there's stuff on the table, and there's, noises, and it looks like, I don't believe in the story now. I'd have to refresh my memory. Of course, I didn't before the show, but I didn't even think of it before the show.
Okay.
But, it looked like all this stuff was going on. Later, they find out that lighthouse had been, abandoned for a long time. And they went back, and it's, all boarded up and closed, and it's... So whatever they had seen had been some kind of rift in time.
Possibly.
There's that other story, though, that's really fascinating about that Major General guy. Do you have that?
Or
he's some kind of wing commander.
Well, while I'm looking for this, I'm going to multitask.
Yeah.
Because there's another important thing I wanted to bring up. I've been experimenting with a lot of meditation in the last couple months. And we were talking about this cold feeling this particular lady had.
I want to read that other story.
Okay, then. Well, here's the papers.
Yeah. Cold feeling.
This cold feeling that this particular lady had as she was approaching the cabin, and she ignored it. I myself have been experiencing, in deep meditation, where I've actually managed to get myself past the thinking stage, where I'm just clearing my head out, and I actually get myself into a plane where I'm finally clear, and I can actually focus on, whatever's going on inside my mind. I've experienced sensations of cold on my head, in particular, on my head, cold on one side of my head, especially. I've actually had one occurrence where I actually felt the right side of my face actually went numb. And mind you, I had nothing to drink. I'm not kidding you. I was just, I don't know what was going on, to tell you the truth. But those are the two sensations that I've gotten out of that. And that I'm not going to classify that as a temporal vortex. But I don't know if you get that deep into thinking where you may actually cross over somehow like that. I mean, this lady, she's half paralyzed now because of this event. What if I would have kept going? Because to be quite honest with you, when I felt these cold sensations, and I mean, the heat was on. We do live in Michigan, I know, but the heat was on. It was perfectly comfortable. I wonder if I would have went any further with it, if I could have actually hurt myself.
Well, you know, either that or you were probably a few seconds away from nirvana. I mean, you might have been, you know, you don't know what would have happened had you continued. Right?
Exactly. But that's something to bring up, because maybe people out there who do meditate, who've been doing it for years, experience these same things, and they can identify with that, too. If you do identify with that, ScottL@ghostlytalk.com, we should talk.
Okay. Well, that, and listen to Resmerized with Res Miranda, because she's an expert.
She's an expert.
We've got a flight into the future. This fellow, Sir Victor Goddard of the British Royal Air Force,
okay,
was a wing commander. He was in a Hawker Hart biplane in 1935.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hawker Hart biplane.
Well, it's what it says on the paper.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know either, but it sounds really impressive.
Sounds like a cool plane.
He decides he's gonna fly from Edinburgh, Scotland, to Andover, England. And he had to fly over he flew over this abandoned airfield at Drem, not far from Edinburgh.
Okay.
Abandoned airfield. He flies over it, right? It's overgrown with foliage. The hangars were falling apart. Cows were grazing where the planes were, you know, used to be, mm-hmm, probably, and stuff like that. But he continues his flight, but he encounters a bizarre storm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He sees, like, strange brown-yellow clouds. He lost control of the plane for a bit. It starts to spiral toward the ground. He manages to, you know, escape crashing. Mm-hmm. He didn't crash. And decides to head back.
Okay.
He goes back toward Drem. But now, the storm suddenly vanishes. And it's you know, sunshine. Everything looks great. He flies over the Drem airfield. The hangars look like new. Four airplanes were on the ground. Three were familiar, you know, familiar to him. There's, you know, three biplanes, and then one, but they were yellow instead of whatever typical color they used to paint them.
Uh-huh.
And the first was a monoplane, they say. And they had none of those in 1935 when he was flying his trip.
Okay.
The mechanics were in blue. They were in, like, blue overalls, and that was pretty odd because they, you know, were supposed to be dressed in brown overalls, and nobody seemed to notice him flying over the airfield, right?
Uh-huh.
But he continues flying another one of these bizarre, strange storms, and, okay. Bizarre, strange storm. Where was I? I'm losing my place because I'm thinking in three different directions. Bizarre, strange storm, but he managed to make it back. He managed to make it to Andover.
Okay.
Okay. 1939, 4 years later, the Royal Air Force starts painting its planes yellow, right?
Uh-huh.
Starts using monoplanes, the kind that the guy saw.
Uh-huh.
And they changed the mechanics' uniforms from typical brown to blue. So, did the guy go 4 years or more forward in time?
Who knows?
Because of these strange storms, he flies into a storm,
mm-hmm,
sees this abandoned airfield first he flies over the abandoned airfield, it looks like he expected.
Yeah.
Flies into a storm, turns around, flies over the abandoned airfield again, only now it's completely in use, all shiny and, you know, done up. all this activity. He notices all this stuff. They don't notice him, though. Flies back and continued his trip or whatever.
Question.
Did he go and dine? What happened?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, that also is off of...
Yes, he did go in time.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
There was a film I saw. I hate to cite this. Well, no, I don't hate to cite this because this was a very good film. The name completely escapes me. Hopefully one of you people out there do know it. If you're anywhere you can reach us, please call us, 888-520-1969, where it was a U.S. aircraft carrier. That's where the movie was, you know, stationed. It was based around this U.S. aircraft carrier. In the year, like, 1975, 1980, it was right around there. I saw it when I was a little kid at first, and I actually watched it not too long, a couple years ago, again, just to understand it finally. And what happened with them, I don't remember all the details. I'm not sure if they actually went into the Bermuda Triangle itself. For some reason, that's coming up in my memory. But what happened was this particular aircraft carrier saw the same type of thing, a hazy...
That was the Philadelphia Experiment.
No.
I saw it, or the Philadelphia Experiment 2.
I never saw the Philadelphia Experiment.
Well, the Philadelphia
Experiment
2...
How old is that movie?
Two,
well, part 1. How old is that one?
Could have been around the 70s.
Well, let me finish it. You might think about that again, because what happened was when they went through this particular rift, we'll call it a rift in time.
Okay.
The spirit of Star Trek lingo, you know. And they were like, what are we doing? Where are we going? And they got sucked in, literally got sucked in. They had no control over this gigantic aircraft carrier, okay? They came through, out, everything was fine. Not a thing. But then they're looking around, and they're trying to communicate with their people, they're not getting anything. All of a sudden, the radio frequencies start coming through again, and it's like what they're hearing is it's from a different time, basically. And all of a sudden, they look above them, and they're seeing all these planes fly over. Now, mind you, this was like right at 75, 80, right in that area of time. And they look above them, and what do we see but Japanese airplanes? Okay, what basically, in a nutshell, is somehow they were teleported or sent back in time to the year... Oh, God, my history. I am a horrid person because this was a very bad thing. Dark period in American history.
42. Sounds good to me.
No, the bombing...
Yeah, of Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor, yeah. See, oh, my God.
December...
We're going to get kicked right off the internet.
My friend Craig would be like...
We're going to get kicked right off the internet, literally. They're going to ban us from the internet now. But what they saw was these Japanese airplanes coming over. A whole fleet of them. And then they start showing, they start looking around, they're looking, they're like, the style of boats coming by them were all very old style. You know, this is like 40 years before that. And I don't remember the rest of the movie, but I remember that because it ties right into what we're talking about
okay.
right now.
I don't know if that was Philadelphia Experiment 2.
Well, what happened was they realized, they're like, well, we got to do something about this. We just can't sit by and let this happen. We know what's going to happen. So they sent up their brand new F-14 fighter jets and just blew these guys out of the sky, basically. And I don't remember what happened the rest of it, though. I remember that part. But it ties right into that where you were talking about the yellow haze.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, coming out of that and going, wait a minute, that was just, that hangar was falling apart a second ago. What's going on here? I mean, can we accidentally fall upon holes in time or wormholes, so to say?
Well, these though would have to be pretty big. I mean, for example, if the lady with her cottage,
mm-hmm.
you know, she goes and finds this stone cottage with people from the 17th century dancing and having a party.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty big event. I mean,
yeah.
A pretty large area. A whole hangar of, you know, airfield kind of thing. That's a pretty humongous looking thing.
An aircraft carrier
is
humongous.
Right.
That's
and
a story, but
yeah, I mean, and a lighthouse, you know, from
yeah, these are all big areas as far
these
as
are big areas.
The physical area itself.
And even if it was just the observer who was transported.
Uh-huh.
Like the lady and her friend, if they were just transported,
yeah.
It still would have to be human sized, or in the case of the lighthouse, it would have to be the boat and all the people who were on the boat going to the island. they would have had to have been transported or been into this wormhole. So we're talking about larger than little tiny pin-sized wormholes of time and space.
Well, there's got to, I mean...
Do they occur naturally?
That's actually a very good way to... That's the words I was looking for. Do these things just happen randomly? Is there a time... We've talked about this numerous times. Is there areas or time on... Well, this area of being that we are on right now, this state of being, this plane we're on right now, that there is a thinning of the gaps, so to say. We've talked about that, the thinning of the gaps, where you don't know it. You're just walking down the street one day, you're minding your own business, and all of a sudden, you look around you, and you're 20 years before that.
Yeah, or in a completely different era.
Or a completely different era, yeah. Something completely different where you're like, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. What's going on? I don't understand this. Can these things just happen? Can we create these things?
Well, that's the thing, okay? If it does happen in nature... If it can happen, it doesn't matter why it happens. It could be, or how, it could be geophysics, it could be, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Right? Magnetic forces, electric forces, weather forces.
Yeah.
Something happens, creates this thing, somebody comes out, you know, goes in, comes out, has this incredible story that just absolutely engulfs the imagination.
Yeah.
Phenomenal stuff, right? Doesn't happen as often as people see ghosts. Doesn't happen as often as people read tarot cards and predict people's futures.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't happen as often as prophets, you know, predict the future. But you get these reports every now and then of these interesting little time travels. And if it does happen in nature, or can happen in nature, certainly you could figure it out and make it happen in the lab. I mean, why not?
Yeah, we're talking about more of a bigger scale, though, as far as time goes, as opposed to 20 or 30 years, 40 years, a whole different era, centuries.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about missing time, though, as far as, and Phobos mentioned that to us on the break, too. Phobos mentioned that to us on the break where, when you guys weren't listening, well, we were talking to Phobos. He's like, you know, have you ever thought about with the alien abductions also, where people literally lose time, where they... One second they look at their watch, it's 7 o'clock, and then they look at their watch again, it's 8 o'clock. And what happened to that hour?
Right, and there are stories. Like there was that couple driving down the road or whatever.
Uh-huh.
What were they doing? They were traveling from a party home or from home to a party or something like that, and I'm thinking Pennsylvania or somewhere around there.
Okay.
This is like Eastern kind of story.
Yeah.
That's how I arrange things in my head. And they were driving. They did notice lights in the sky, which, of course, brings in the UFO kind of thing. But then the next thing they know, they were at home. They had traveled the entire... they must have been going home, because otherwise they wouldn't have been at home when they were done. They had traveled the entire route, you know, a 4 or 5 hour drive or whatever, instantaneously to them. You know, they experienced it instantaneously, and they were already home.
So you wouldn't really want to call, I wouldn't want to call that traveling time. I would like to call that scooting in time. Because all you're really doing is just going, man, an hour compared to hundreds and thousands of years is nothing. It's nothing. It's very minute.
Well, yeah.
But I will tell you, the sure-proof way to literally lose time. Okay?
Okay.
This is how you lose time.
Get really, really plastered.
Thank you.
Yes.
You get home from work, you've had a bad day. You go to the bar. Alcohol of choice. Wild Turkey.
Oh my gosh.
That will make you lose time. Well, along with billions of brain cells too.
Oh, undoubtedly, yeah.
That's the shoe-proof way. If you want to experience something like this, you go out. And you drink about, what do you say, Doug? You're an ex-drinker, and I'm a practicing somewhat, you know,
well,
I'm a hobbyist. So
I haven't done this in a long, 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 long time. But I would say, for me, probably 6 to 8, no, it had to be more, probably 8 to 12.
Shots. Within what time period?
15
minutes?
15 minutes. That would do it.
Literally, though, that's a trip. Because, I mean, has that ever happened to you where you remember doing one thing, and next thing you know, you hear birds chirping.
And it's morning.
And you smell stale cigarettes and beer, and you're like, what happened?
Yeah, what happened to me last night?
Where am I at?
Yeah, that's how to do it.
Whose car is this? Who is this woman? Why am I dressed in a nightie?
Well, hopefully that
What's
doesn't
a chicken doing here?
Hopefully that doesn't happen often.
Whose dog is this?
This is not my beautiful house. This is not my beautiful wife.
All kidding aside, I mean, that happens, though.
That happens, but I think that's a little bit different.
Scooting time, though. You know, you hear about this a lot. I mean, there's stories, of course. Well, you hear about... I mean, it's happened to me, though, too. I mean, maybe it's just me being stupid. It happens a lot, about 40, 50 times in a day, where I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is just going along. And then I... You know what happens to me a lot? This is more of a natural thing, though, where if I'm listening to music,
mm-hmm.
you phase out, and your mind just goes, that's just time... carrying on.
Right. Well,
but literally, you phase out, though, and next thing you know, you look at the watch, and you're like,
oh, my gosh, it's midnight, or whatever.
What happened? What,
yeah.
what happened here, you know? Those are more natural things that people experience every day.
Well, I tend to concentrate a lot when I'm watching television or when I'm reading a book or when I'm doing something. I concentrate very, very heavily. And usually, when I'm concentrating like that, I can't, like, hear
mm-hmm.
people. Or things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm so tuned in on something.
I know that, yeah.
And,
Doug.
That's it, yeah. Exactly. And I'm concentrating so heavily. For me, my experience of time at that moment is time is standing still. Because
yeah.
I, next thing I know, as soon as I come back out of it, so much time has gone by. It's a, you know, variable amount of time. But
yeah.
all of a sudden, oh my gosh.
That happens
you know.
To me in meditation, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you phase out like that, you literally lose time.
Well, how come when you go to sleep and then you wake up, it always seems like only a few minutes you've been asleep, and yet you've been asleep for hours?
That used to happen to me a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
Now I usually wake up two or three times in the middle of the night.
Oh, okay.
Just to go to the bathroom or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, because I get into this vicious cycle throughout the night where... I'll get up, I'll have like a big glass of water before I go to bed, which is like the stupidest thing to do.
Uh-huh.
And then you wake up a couple hours later going, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm parched, I'm gonna go and get another glass of water. A couple
well,
hours later, you wake up. But I like
thing.
That, though. I like that, though.
Okay.
I like that, though, too, because it's like you wake up and go, hey, all right, sweet, three more hours before I have to get up for work. If you just go to sleep, close your eyes, and then open them up and it's daylight again, that sucks.
Well,
you're
that
like,
that's
oh.
how it works for me. I go to sleep, I wake up, and it's daylight, and I, ugh. Hate that. I want to enjoy. I love sleeping. Anyway, that's going to be it.
Yeah.
I have to say, Clyde Lewis on Ground Zero right here on Zero Point Radio. He's on again at 11 p.m. Eastern time tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Check him out.
Two more hours. You know.
Check him out. Yeah, definitely.
Buy your ZPR gear at www.zeropointradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, interesting show. Thank you, Phobos.
So much
Thank
fun.
You, Mr. Olaf. We love when everybody chimes in on this. It's very important to us to have that, because a lot of times we don't have the answers.
Right.
This is all theory.
And I love talking about it, and that's what Ghostly Talk is about.
So, I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.